the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening, welcome. My name is Vinny White. I'm here for the next hour, and I will be discussing all sorts of things, including bad drivers. I'm going to do a little bit on them, things that wind you up on the road. I think that one should be one to get quite a lot of response. We're going to talk about the Swiss cheese perverts. There's a man driving around in the United States of America asking ladies to fondle him through a piece of cheese, which sounds weird. And the actual full story is actually even weirder than that, which is why I love it. There's some other stuff going on in Tut World as well. We're going to talk about the guy that was fined $57 for leaving his car unlocked in Montreal. Is that right? Are we happy with that? He came to his car the next day, having left it unlocked overnight, and he had a ticket on the inside of his car. Policeman had gone into his car and put a ticket for leaving his car unlocked. Are we all right with that? I'm not all right with that. We'll find out what's going on in France, because someone's having an affair, and the French reaction is like this, which is generally the French reaction to most things. And we're going to do the fastest rap tracks ever, which are brilliant, by the way. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be towards the end of the show. The fastest rappers ever. There's one guy that says 344 words in a minute, and it sounds like this. F the police. Something like that. So we'll do that. Sounded Arabic when I did it, but he is English, apparently. And I'll tell you what else is going on in the world. And you know what? You can fill me in. Not literally. Don't beat me up. I'm sure there are a few that want to. You can phone the show and get involved in any way you like. I mean, within the realms of legality. You can, if you want, for my own amusement as well, abseil up the side of the building and press your genitalia against the window. It's illegal, but encouraged. Because, you know, it's pretty quiet around here this time. Don't lick anything on your way. You might get stuck to it. If you can lick that, good luck to you. So that's that. I've been in Ottawa all week. I used to live in Ottawa. When I first moved to Canada 7 years ago, I moved here for a woman. I'm not with her anymore. She's marrying someone in Guatemala this year. So that went well. I'm not bitter. Just want to kill her. I'm actually genuinely not. She's lovely. If you're listening, Lisa, well done. We would have worked out if I'd have just been a bit more patient. I think we all know that it was my fault. Let's got that out. I always think of this show as much of a counselling session as anything else. So, yeah, I moved here for a woman 7 years ago, and she lived in Ottawa. I didn't know anything about Ottawa. I'm not even sure I knew it was the capital of Canada. My geography was quite bad in those days. I just knew that it was a town. And I got there thinking, well, I'm from London, which is a capital. So, obviously, when it gets to Ottawa, it will be like that, but probably a bit colder. And then someone said, well, there's a million people. And I thought, that's quite a lot less. That's a 12th the size of London. That's significantly less people. But still a capital city. Still going to be crazy, right? High rises, 24-hour parties, yeah? Raves, people setting up crazy stuff in the woods and taking drugs and inviting me to parties. It's going to be mental. It's probably going to be the best time ever. And then I got to Ottawa and realised it's not quite like that. If you haven't been to Ottawa, imagine you'd walked into an old people's home. I'm not saying that it's full of old people, because it's not. But you know that old people tend to be really nice and make you cups of tea and be really warm and nice. But sometimes you think, I'm a bit bored. You know what I mean? When you have to visit someone old, it's lovely for 25 minutes. And then you think, they don't really have anything to say. That's how I feel about Ottawa. Not everyone there. No, there's some great people. And many of them are listening to this show. And they're the real winners in life. Let me tell you that. But I went there this week. I teach this thing every now and then, right? Because I've still got connections there. I've actually still got property there as well. I had to keep an eye on that. And I teach people how to use software. That's what I do when I'm not talking reasonable amounts of sturdy gibberish on Canada's biggest talk station. Good evening. I'm Vinny White. Your producer is Elliot. Cheers. And I was there teaching Adobe software. I teach Photoshop and InDesign and what's the other one? Illustrator. As you can see, I'm pretty good at it because I just forgot what it was. Thorough is my middle name. But yeah, I teach all kinds of software. And I usually when I go to Ottawa to teach it, I sleep in my friend's place, which is what we call in England, we call it a caravan. You call it a trailer. And because he's got one on his front lawn in a tiny little place called Elmer, which is in Gatineau on the French side of Ottawa. All right. It's good to be specific. So I've been living in a trailer for a week, which is weird, particularly when it's minus 35. Minus 35. Four season trailer, just as well. Tell you what, when you get out for a pee in the middle of the night, because he didn't plumb the toilet in, as you wouldn't, because it's going to freeze, right? So I had to go outside for a pee. Bit of yellow snow. I tell you what, minus 35 when you've got a pair of boxer shorts on, even if you want a quick pee. When you see the pee landing and it makes a noise like broken glass, you realise that you're going to die within about 25 seconds. I can't short many a pee. I dribbled. I don't mind admitting it. And the older you get, I mean, it's hard enough to control at the best of times now, the flow. But that was a real show. Anyway, back to the point. I was teaching Adobe software. Oh, by the way, if you've just tuned in, it sort of goes like this for a little while. Well, we'll get some legs and formalities involved soon, and you can get involved. But let me just get this out. So I went to, I teach software in the Libraries and Archives building. And it's all right. Two administrative assistants is who I taught. If you want to use my services, by the way, might as well plug it. AdobeTrainingToronto.com. AdobeTrainingToronto.com. I can't help but do that sort of cheesy thing when I advertise my services. It's just the fact that I'm doing it is painful enough. So you might as well dress it up with some comedy. Anyway, AdobeTrainingToronto.com is the company. Don't know if I mentioned that. And yeah, so I was teaching these two women, nice women. But like I said, with the whole analogy about Ottawa being a bit like an old people's home, they were nice, but they had absolutely nothing to them whatsoever. Both of them had chosen to have children very early in life. One had been to Jamaica for a honeymoon, but had never left Canada other than that. And the other one had never left Canada ever, which doesn't mean you're boring. It's not that. It's just that it does sort of cut down on the worldly conversation when you haven't been anywhere. I mean, honestly, when I say anywhere, one of them hadn't been to Montreal. That's an hour and a half away. I don't even know how that's possible. I ended up there when I didn't even want to be there. You could get a cab there. Admittedly, you'd have to do a runner, but you could get a cab there. Anyway, so they'd never been anywhere. So I decided lunch was always going to be difficult. And I had lunch with them and one of their other co-workers. And I'd been talking all day because I have to teach software. So it's like, okay, move the cursor here. And you, honestly, when I'm in that mode, you wouldn't believe it's me because I'm actually like properly nice. I actually have a whole side of not being a ranting arse. I know, it's a nightmare to curb. At the end of the day, I just shout into a bath. Just to get it out. That's how it sounds. It's very tricky to shout into a bath when you're living in a trailer without a bath, by the way. An extra point. So I went to lunch with these women. What do we think? I don't know, late 30s, early 40s. Kids coming out of every orifice. And they didn't have any hobbies. And again, I'm not having a go. It's all right. It's just I appreciate it's hard to have a hobby when you've got kids. You know, they're a bit of a time consumer. But I tried to have a conversation with them at dinner, at lunch, and have you ever got so bored you actually get angry? Yeah. I don't know when it happens. I think it's about 10 minutes in when you've tried and failed and tried and failed and tried. And I got to the point where I was actually proper angry. So I shut up. And I thought, right, I'm going to have a standoff. I'm going to let them talk. The two women I'm teaching and another woman. You'd think it was heavenly. Me, stuck on a table with three women and they're buying me lunch. You'd think that was great. And I think one of them fancied me. She gave me that, you know, when they look at you like that. You know, because you're goddamn gorgeous. She was giving me the eyes. The FM eyes. Don't ask me to spell that out. And so it went on and I got bored. So I shut up and I thought, well, I'll leave it to them. And I had a standoff and they stopped talking. So then we're all sitting in silence. It's embarrassing. You can hear us sucking on each other's soup, not on each other's soup. That would be really weird. We weren't that forward. And I'm just dying inside thinking I'm not going to talk. Now, sure enough, one of them says to the other one, did you see Janet put those files on the J drive? And I'm thinking, I don't know what that means. I realize they're talking work, right? They start talking work. It doesn't stop. Half hour later, I'm sat there. They've talked about nothing but Janet and the J drive. I don't know what it means. And you can see they're not interested. I mean, it's just conversation for the sake of conversation. And you know what really got me about this? It suddenly made me think, hang on a minute. This is normal life. This is what people do, particularly in Ottawa. Trust me on this. I know many government workers in Ottawa. And if you think your tax-paying dollars are being put to good use, well, you don't, because you listen to News Talk 1010. And you know already from, I don't know, 5 minutes of radio prior to me coming on that that's not the case. Now, I don't care about that. I'm not going to get into a rant of how the government wastes money. I don't really care. Well, I mean, I do, but that's not really my point. My point here is that these individuals have forgotten the art of conversation. And when I tried to put something forward, it was difficult. And having spoke to many government workers afterwards, friends, they say that a lot of them don't bother relaying anything to do with their personal life, because if their personal life involves them, I don't know, taking a few sick days to go skiing, they don't want their colleagues to know about it, so they don't talk to their colleagues about their private life, ever. And I have to sit here and honestly, by the end of it, I think the only thing I can do here is take a massive poo on the floor and then point at it and say, well, now you've got something to talk about. And they should have thanked me for that. But I realised that it might not be helpful for their testimonials on the website. But there you go. So I just wanted to get that out. This week, I got so bored in conversation that I actually thought about crapping my pants. There you go. So if you think the rock and roll lifestyle of a talk DJ is all the way groovy all the way through the week, let me tell you now, it's not. So that's that. The other thing I wanted to mention about Ottawa, and I wanted to get a dialogue going about Toronto as well, is drivers. Now, I rented a car to get to Ottawa, which was emotional in every possible way. It took me, it should have taken 4 hours to get there. It took 6.5, and it should have taken 4 hours to get back. It took 7.5. I always like to drive in either a sandstorm. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot. Is this Dubai FM? No. A snowstorm. That's it. I always like to drive in either a snowstorm or an ice rain storm. Freezing rainstorm. I managed to get both, so that was lovely. But my problem is driving around in Ottawa. If ever you've driven around in Ottawa, it's very different to the driving style here. The driving style in Ottawa, and I witnessed this many times when I lived there, and it was reminded to me this week when I was back, is something like this. Car one wants to cross the road. Car two, also on, let's say, a four-way stop, wants to cross the road, but turn in front of the other car. One car lets the other car go, usually with a flash, which the other car doesn't understand because, for some reason, they've never understood the concept of flashing lights. So they sit there and wave the other car to go ahead. And the other car says, well, I couldn't possibly do that because, I mean, I let you go and no rush to get anywhere because I work for the government. So you please go ahead. So the other one waves the other one. Then the other one waves the other one back. And then the other one waves the other one back. And I actually witnessed this week, despite the fact it was minus 20. Someone undid their window, stuck their head out and said, no, please, you go. So it's a standoff of politeness. That's how they roll in Ottawa. No, you go. And I'm behind them. Right. In a car. You go. No, go on, you go. Oh, you were here first. No, I think you were here first. No, you go. Well, I think you could go because you're going in front and that's almost quicker. So you go. Well, that's very kind of you, but I really insist. Go! For the love of God! Drive your car! Could have walked over broken glass by now. And it would have been preferable in every possible way to witnessing this. Now, this kind of behaviour doesn't happen in Canada's biggest city here, in Chair. But what does happen is some crazy people. So I thought I'd move out of Ottawa and I'd throw the ball into the Toronto court and ask you, what is your worst kind of driver here in Toronto? Who drives you insane? And by the way, before we're treading on thin ice, let me say this. This is not an invitation to be racist. Okay? So when I say your worst kind of driver, please don't pick an ethnicity. Unless it's British, I can defend that one. So just the worst kind of driver is what I want. All right? 416 872 1010. And you can text the show on 71010. I want to know your worst kind of driver. The habit that just makes you want to, I can't believe they just did that. If I had a gun, I'd shoot them. That one. 416-872-1010 on the phone. Call now. I put this on Facebook, and here's some of the responses. Karen says, random breakers, ones who drive as if they're in a video game and they need to kill everyone else to win. So that's a big one. Glenn, understandably, says people that stare at cell phones. Oh, my God. How many people do that? Oh, it just sounded really American. Oh, my God. Sarah Sly. How many people do that? I can see, like, I don't know if people in cars think they're getting away with it. You can see their faces lit up at every traffic light. Unless they're sitting on a torch or they've got radioactive genitalia, I'm pretty convinced they're on a cell phone. So, your worst drivers, let's have a bit of Tony. Hi, Tony. Tell me your worst kind of driver.
There's two. I don't want to mention real bad names, but it's the guys that get to the light, and they're supposed to make a left. They don't have a signal on, and then all of a sudden, when the light turns about red, they make a U-turn. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And you're at that point, you can't go around them because you would have committed to the other lane, but you didn't know you should. Yeah.
I can't make a left anymore.
So
next year, I'm going to buy a nice 150, and I'm going to put some nice steel rods in the front. The first guy that does that, I'm just going to ram him. No, seriously. I'm just going to ram him because they're supposed to go left.
Yeah.
They don't even put the signal, and then they make the little U-turn, and then what happens to you? You're stuck in a red light trying to make a left.
Tony, have you ever been to prison for vigilante behavior before?
I did 5 years when I was 23 to 28.
What was it for?
Manslaughter.
Perfect. Just as well. That prison system's working well then. Please take care, Tony. Please don't do that. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, Vinny. You got me laughing so hard. I'm going to split here. Well, when you said I couldn't make any racist comments, that kind of blew my thunder.
I knew it was going to come. I thought there's no way I'm letting that happen.
So I guess I'll say it's the people that ride my tail.
Ah, the tail riders. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye. Lynn there, with no convictions for manslaughter, making a good point. I would prefer most listeners to the show to try to be people that don't have convictions for manslaughter. Or if you're the sort of person that has got a conviction for manslaughter, you regret it to a certain degree and don't plan on getting another conviction for manslaughter. Call me fussy. Hello, Luke. Tell me, the drivers that you hate, your worst kind of driver.
Okay, so you're going down Winston Churchill in the morning. Mm-hmm. You're in the left lane, and the person in front of you is going 5 kilometers under the speed limit, and you have to pass them on the right, and then you get a ticket by the cop.
Oh.
Perfect, eh?
Oh, did that happen to you?
Yes, it did.
Nasty. Nasty, oh, yeah. Luke. Karma's a bitch. Hopefully it'll come round to them. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay.
Take care. 416-872-1010, your worst kind of driver. Glenn says the ones who speed up in front of you, even though there's lots of room behind you, then immediately make a turn. Joan says the drivers that don't change lanes. I mean, if they're sitting in the outside lane, yeah, they're annoying. The ones that don't signal and are usually the ones that end up cutting you off. Also, drivers that ride your tail, big one. We should do a top 10. Drivers that ride your tail is up to number 2 this year. Joan Walter says... And what is it with people? I love that people that start a sentence with, and what is it with? Brilliant. You know they're born to rant. And what is it with people who come to a four-way stop and don't understand how it works? I swear their brains get sucked out of their heads upon approaching the stop. Then they sit and sit, and they inevitably choose to move into the intersection at the exact same time that you do. The cameras you see at stops, they really suck your brains out. Okay, I like that. I like it when people get het up. I think it's probably more so now because I've spent a week in Ottawa where people don't get het up. And if they do, they do it in the privacy of their own home. Steph says, distracted drivers, people who fail to turn lanes properly. SUV drivers who assume they are invincible. Yeah, I've got to have a quick grumble about them. As a cyclist of occasion, and when I rent a car, I rent a small one. You know the SUV that you drive? There's nothing wrong with driving it. Well... unless you're looking at carbon emissions, but let's not get into that. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with driving it, but please don't hurt me. This is all I'm saying. 416-872-1010 is the number. Mohammed.
Hey, how are you, Vinny?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. You're on the road right now, aren't you?
You got it, my friend. But I drive by the roads. I'm trained in Europe, in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a license in Denmark, it's better than having a master's in Toronto.
I see. Go on.
In the GTA here, anybody who owns like a BMW, a Benz, or like one of the luxury SUVs, they think they're exempted from flashing when they change in lanes or turning. They're exempted from stop signs, and if they can't run you through a red, they will definitely do it without feeling a guilt.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Bye, Mohammed. I think there's a service to Torontonians phoning this show. Just get it out. Not physically. I don't want to see it. I mean, the rant. The ones who let you in when they are approaching a red light. You're not going anywhere, says someone ending with 017. 791 says, this is my first time listening to you. You're hilarious. Thanks, Mum. What else have we got? The people who were not treating the downed lights like four-way stops during the power outage. I want to put things in their nose, says someone. I actually added the last bit. Just a bit of artistic license. I hate the ones that sit on your ass. They're road bullies. Pass if you must, but don't get up my bum, says Jack. And finally, for now at least, the tailgaters with the ridiculously bright headlights and high beams. Why can't they just pass if they're going to go over the speed limit and go up your bum? Says Kristen. And someone else says, every over-polite driver in Ottawa. Yeah, you see, you've driven there too. See, I prefer driving in Montreal, right? I always think of it, it's like water. In Montreal, they take the easiest possible route. It flows like a river, yeah? You know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to do the most stupid thing possible to get past you. Great, I know where I am with that. But in Ottawa, you can't predict niceness. You can to a certain degree. I think they're going to stop and let me out, but it's varying degrees of niceness. So I find them unpredictable. I'd rather, honestly, I mean this, I'd rather drive in Rome, where, if you've ever driven in Rome, by the way, it's Russian roulette with your life. But I'd rather drive there because, again, you know everyone's going to be mad. I like it when everyone's mad because you know what they're going to do. Predictability, baby. It's rock and roll. When we come back, we'll look at what's going on in France. We'll look at, because there's a weird affair that no one really cares about. I could do the top 10 things that make you a bad driver if we get time. There's so much to do. We'll be back in a minute right here. News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
Yeah. I took so many texts in from people. I think number one has to be tailgaters. People are not liking that. And then it seems a bit of a shock to some people in Toronto that these small yellow bulbs or yellow regular bulbs behind yellow plastic on the four corners of your car, apparently you can use them. Shocker. Who knew? 10 things that make you a bad driver is some. I'm going to run through this quickly because we've got a lot to do, but I did say I'd do it. Number one is singing. Apparently, it's proven now that hundreds of car accidents every year are a result of singing. Well, I don't think it's really singing. Surely it's people fiddling with the radio when they're looking away from the road. But nonetheless, next time you're singing, there is evidence to suggest they say that even if you're singing your favourite song, because your brain is apparently so slow and pathetic that you can't actually think of the words of the song without concentrating less on the road. That's what they've said. I mean, sure enough, if you're doing, I don't know, Busta Rhymes, that might be tricky. Having a cold is quite bad for you, apparently, on the road. Your health can be an obvious effect on how well you drive. A study recently showed that people with a cold are more likely to crash. Not a massive rise, but certainly a notable one. Driving the same route all the time is quite a big one. And that's how to make you a bad driver, because you get complacent, you see. That car wasn't there yesterday. I think I'll hit it today. God, we're simple. Billboards are quite a big one. There was a racy billboard for Wonderbra. It was actually removed from one of the motorways in Britain after a number of car accidents went up around it. She was quite hot, I'll give her that, but not hot enough to excuse driving into the car in front. If billboards is the case, no wonder there's so many bloody accidents on the Gardiner. I tried to read, here's one for you, I tried, as a passenger, may I add, to read every single ad, every word on every ad, whilst driving along the Gardiner. It's not possible as a passenger. So how can that be good for your driving? And isn't it great that they've put up all those ads? $30,000 a week, by the way, if you want to rent a billboard there. $30,000 a week. Isn't it great that they've put them up? Because aren't they beautiful? And isn't it good that all that money's clearly going into the Gardener as such a beautiful success that I won't walk under for fear of falling concrete? Being a Libra makes you a bad driver, apparently. Insurance companies don't really like to take your star sign into consideration, but when deciding what to do, they did a study. They don't take it into consideration per se, but they couldn't help but notice that you're more likely to have an accident if Libra. Libras get the most accidents by far, actually, followed by Aquarius and Aries. But Pisces receive the most tickets. I'm Pisces, and I agree. Although I do think star signs are utter gibberish. Road signs, they're a bad thing. Yep, obviously. Well, you wouldn't believe it, but they make you a bad driver. When a small town in the Netherlands got rid of many of their signs, their traffic deaths plummeted. Cool. I think we could get rid of 70% of the traffic lights in this city. Let's be honest. Or at least make them a flashing yellow at night, so we might actually get somewhere. The amount of carbon that's being burnt by people just sitting there waiting for bugger all. And I love it when they do the construction here, and they're like, there's an intersection, and they block off one side, they block off another, so in theory it's not even an intersection, but they leave the bloody lights on for a year! I think everyone should spend a week in Ottawa, because it pumps you up. We've got so much anger to dump. Being a lawyer, if you get sued over a car accident, there's a good chance that you could represent yourself. A 2010 study by an insurance company found that a shocking 44% of lawyers who applied for car insurance admitted to being in at least one previous accident. So that's the most likely of all the professions is a lawyer. Number two, nurses. Number 10, by the way, just thought I'd tell you that, dog groomers. I think that's quite obvious. Got six dogs yapping away in the back. Apparently the least likely, the safest, in other words, are homemakers. Having kids. In March, an Australian research team came to the conclusion that almost nothing is more distracting than kids, in every possible sense. Daydreaming, that's a big one. And apparently low gas prices mean that you're more likely to be a bad driver, which is why the terrible drivers in the United States of goddamn America. Because low gas prices. The theory is, the lower the gas, the more likely you are to drive, more cars on the road. Bit loose. Looser than a clown's pocket, but it stands up. So there you go, that's that. Now, let's have a look around the world, because there's stuff going on. We're going to Montreal to kick off with, shall we? No, we're going to York University. I want to do this quickly. This one freaked me out this week. So you may have heard this story, and if you didn't, we'll give it a quick snippet. York University is standing by a choice to excuse a student from work because of his religious beliefs. Well, they must be perfectly reasonable, well-rounded beliefs then, yeah?
Toronto's York University finds itself at the center of a debate over religious accommodation. A student asked to be exempted from an assignment because he said his religion would not allow him to interact with women. The university's administration told the professor to grant the request. The CBC's Joan Leishman has the reaction.
At York University, it's the talk of the campus.
If it's against the religion, if he doesn't feel comfortable doing it, then I think he shouldn't be forced.
We're not in like a religious institution. We're in a school where everyone comes from different religious beliefs. Kind of have to leave that behind and separate that from your schoolwork.
Now, I spoke to someone from York University today, and there's something quite important to remember here. This is an online course. And that's a key component. That's a key factor. Because it's an online course, when he was asked, this gentleman, to come in, for a lecture, and he said, I can't because of my religious beliefs, no matter how bonkers, and it is bonkers, those religious beliefs are, because in the online course, when he took the course, he signed up for an online course, it didn't involve anyone coming in. That's why the university have chosen to say, all right, well, I guess we're going to go with it. So he's excused for not coming in because of that. Now, if this wasn't an online course and it was a regular course, there's no way that this would stand up. But I'm quite surprised it stood up anyway. Here's another clip.
Not surprisingly, students are split on just how far public institutions should go to accommodate religious beliefs. In this case, Professor Paul Grayson couldn't believe the university's ruling.
I was absolutely dumbfounded with that.
Grayson teaches an online sociology course. When he asked students to gather for a seminar, one male student requested an exemption, saying that for religious reasons, he didn't want to interact with women. Grayson refused the exemption.
I pointed out that for religious reasons, one could also request exemptions from interactions with blacks, Jews, gays, you name it, because in the Bible or in religious practice, basically there is encouragement not to interact with certain kinds of individuals.
So that's a sociology lecturer there with the point that I make, I would say, is outstandingly clear and concise and utterly reasonable in every way. Liz, your thoughts on this? You called in on 416-872-1010.
No, I called in on star 8255.
All right, Captain Clever Pants.
There you go, working with a woman. Listen, Vinny.
I'm starting to think he's got a point. Yeah, go on.
Vinny, how does this man going to deal with the, this fellow going to deal with the real world when he has to go out there and work with women? Didn't you notice that during the hydro blackouts, all the people that came on from hydro to give us information were women? Now, if you want to come to Hydro One and work with me, you're going to have to learn to deal with women who are well-educated and can deal with the men in the real world. So this guy's got a lot of changing to do, or he can just leave Toronto and go back to his country.
Yeah, to use some religious doctrine, hallelujah. Thank you, Liz. Yeah, sociology, by the way, is the study of human social behaviour, organisations, institutions. It's a social science which uses analysis to develop a body of knowledge about human social actions. And the goal of many sociologists is to conduct research which then might be applied directly to social policy and welfare. So, I'd be a bit worried that this guy ends up making policy for the Canadian government, wouldn't you? Trying to impose, I don't know, Sharia law, perhaps. But since he can't enter a building with women in it, it's going to be tricky for him to get to the Hill in Ottawa. So there's a catch-22. But why study sociology, the study of human behaviour, if you can't mix with ladies? They're 50% of the population. Would you study cookery as a vegan? It's going to be a bit limiting. Study graphic design? Do you like computers? They freak me out, man. They freak me out. I'm a technophobe. It's like a bohemian studying banking. Sorry, it's like someone with a heart studying banking. So there you go. Good luck to him in every way. And do find your way to Pearson Airport. I'm more than happy to pay for your limousine. Actually, no need to be all upper class about it. I'm more than happy to pay for a crappy taxi. And hopefully it's the windows are jammed down. I don't want anything bad to happen to you, but I do want you to be very cold on the way. And then you can bugger off. Right, good. Why aren't I a judge or a lawyer? Speaking of bonkers and rather obscure laws, let's move to Montreal now. A teacher was fined $57 this week under an obscure law that enacted a 1924 regulation for horse-drawn sleighs. Isn't it a progressive country sometimes? Yeah, a Montreal resident is trying to make sense of a ticket he received for not locking his car. There's a guy called Sammy Massoud, and he woke up on Friday morning to find a ticket on the dashboard inside his car. Inside his car. So it looks like a cop has come up, checked his door, found out that it's open. Yeah, fair one. Pretty stupid leaving your car unlocked. And then ticketed him. $57.
Nobody's happy when they get a ticket. But what if you got a $57 ticket for legally parking your car but leaving the door unlocked? It happened to a Montreal man, and as Justin Hayward tells us, he's furiously accusing the province of having its hand in his pocket.
Right here. I come into the car in the morning.
Last night, Sammy Massoud parked his minivan on his quiet residential street as he usually does. But this morning, when the junior college teacher got back in the vehicle, he found a surprise. There was something that looked like a parking ticket inside on the dashboard.
$57. It's absurd.
At 2:44 in the morning, a police officer left the ticket because Massoud had neglected to lock his doors.
Yeah, what do you think of this one? 416-872-1010, or you can text 71010. Someone says here on text, likely a case of where the ticket should be easy to fight. How could they prove that the car wasn't locked by him, then someone broke into it and left it unlocked? It happened to me, says someone. Or you could say that it was unlocked by error, by remote. Unless the cop saw him leave the car unlocked, he hasn't got a case. Just, I think it's a bit weird to break into someone's car and leave a ticket. I mean, do you get a ticket if you leave your convertible roof down in the middle of summer then? It's inviting theft, isn't it? What about leaving your house unlocked? Maybe the Montreal police should do that. Maybe the police should try all the doors in your house. Think your neighbour's wife could have an affair. You should walk into his house, make a dinner and see if she wants to have sex with you. And then when he comes back, just say, your wife had an affair with me earlier. I've always thought she would. I did it for you. I did it for you. She was great. Don't say she was great. He doesn't need to hear that. Tell him you did him a service. I wasn't sure if your wife was reliable. I wanted to see if she'd have an affair. Went like a train. Unbelievable. Do you remember when police used to police? Can we do that? Yeah! So that's that. Lots of other stuff going on in the world. 75% of teens fail to meet basic fitness guidelines. The other 25% were too winded to get off the couch to take the test, I presume. There's a Somalia rebel group that's banned the internet in Somalia. Dozens of Somalians are immediately asking, what's the internet? 15 million tonnes of food in the United Kingdom is thrown away every year. That's about £19 million worth, which is about $26 million worth. And why? Is it tainted? Is it lost in transit? Or is it ugly? Yep, it's ugly. Which is rich, coming from the British, by the way. I'm allowed. I'm allowed. It's okay when you're doing it to your own. As the British said, as they're invading many countries and thought that it was their own. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk two things. I want to talk about a guy that is inviting women around Philadelphia to masturbate through a piece of cheese, which is a perfectly normal news story and one that I find extremely entertaining. And yes, I know. You must. I sometimes wonder if people are going to complain at this show for me being crass. I'm just providing factual news. It's not my fault someone's walking around getting the horn with some cheddar. You know what I'm saying? And also, we're going to look at the quickest rap songs ever recorded, and it's a right laugh. So we'll be back in a minute right here on News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Getting good at that. It's like I've done it before. I want to say thank you to the people that got back to me from my request last week. I said last week on the air that I'm going to Nicaragua to shoot a documentary. I am. A lot of people said, what's it all about? I can't really tell you that much about it, but I can tell you this. I've never shot a documentary in my life. I'm going down there for about 6 weeks. I'm not entirely sure what I'm doing, which is why I need your help. If you know anyone in Nicaragua, particularly on the Pacific coast, then get in touch because I might need to stay with them. And also, I'm going to be, if you know anything about filming in general, message me and I'll get in touch with you and we'll work it out. I might meet you for a beer, and if you can help me properly, then you can help me. If you want to come, you can as well. I might not be able to fund it. We'll see. All the information is at vinnywhite.co.uk. vinnywhite.co.uk, and click on X, because at the moment this project is called Project X. That's one of the first things we need to do, give it a bloody name. But I'm going to Nicaragua. I'm filming a documentary. I don't know what this is going to happen with this show. Don't worry, I'm going to be back, if they'll have me back. But I might have to be off for, I miss five shows. But I was speaking to my boss the other day and I was saying that it might be a possibility of me sending some audio in from Nicaragua so you know that I'm alive, and hopefully it'd be quite funny, because this whole thing could be a complete disaster. No doubt there'll be certainly a story or two. But I just feel like I'm in my mid-30s, I haven't got any kids, I want to do something different, so I'm going to go to Nicaragua and shoot a documentary. Plus, it's weather's crap, isn't it? So I think it's a good time to get away in February. But thank you for your input. If you can help me, vinnywhite.co.uk. The information is there. Also a contact page. And if you can help me, that would be great. If you can't, no worries, mate. I'll show you the documentary when I get back. Swiss cheese pervert terrorises town. Yeah! It's Highbrow Radio, News Talk 1010. The kind normally found in sandwiches between corned beef and a bit of the old tomato. Swiss cheese. Stuff with holes in it. There's a man in Philadelphia who's terrorising women. It's not funny, but it is funny. Local press say that a heavy-set white man, heavy-set is newspaper speak for fat, a fat white man, estimated to be in his late 40s or early 50s, is approaching women whilst in his car, while he's driving a silver or black sedan with his genitals exposed. He then displays a piece of sliced Swiss cheese and offers to pay the women, to pay them. So it's not threatening. He offers to pay the women to put the cheese on his penis and perform sexual acts on him using it. I understand that people may think this is funny, but it's no laughing matter, said Mitt Malarick, the town's Watch senior advisor. Is it wrong that I only read that after I laughed? And now it's not going to stop me laughing a little bit. We've had a couple of individuals reach out to us. We're taking this matter very seriously and we're working vigorously with police to get this guy off the streets. A police source yesterday confirmed that Special Victims Unit is investigating the man after several women from the Mayfair area of Philly. That's the point. Philadelphia is a cheese. He's not being very patriotic with his cheese choice, is he? Choosing the wrong cheese. I guess you get a bit more traction with a bit of Swiss. There's no purchase with a paste. You've been listening to News Talk 1010. This was my final day. They can't find him. That's what they said, essentially. It started in July 2012 when a woman called Amanda Chest... Really? Amanda Chest, who was then 19, having just broken up with a boyfriend, created a profile on a dating website, OkCupid. Within days, she got a contact from a really strange guy, quote, who sent her a private message with a detailed request. He said he was looking for someone to perform masturbation on him with cheese, Chest said. He kept saying how strong his urges were and how he was desperate to find someone to help him, and payment would be there if I wanted it. An excerpt from that message, which Chess sent the Daily News, details the origin of the man's self-described fetish. And I'll do this with an American accent. I'm a heavyset white man. I started to compare girls to cheese due to their milky complexions. Girls are soft, smooth, and they kind of feel to me a little bit like dairy products already, he wrote. That and typical advertising, always using a girl to advertise dairy products. For me, I just think of cheese in a way that's kind of like a replacement for having sex with girls. Chest recognized the man who's been all over the news recently from her, from her OkCupid profile and said that she wanted to track down the Swiss cheese pervert. But as I said, it's not funny. Key point. When people say something's not funny, I find it funnier. It's like being told not to laugh in assembly. Stop laughing, Vincent. Oh, okay. Thank you. If you're the cheese pervert, do text me on 71010. First text in. Listen, Vinny, I want to say that your major concern in Nicaragua should be security. Please be careful. Great. A little bit of poo just came out. Thanks. I'm already scared of this trip. I know the dangers. I'm just going to do something crass, by the way. Have you ever thought of a dubstep DJ having a poo and what it might sound like? Can you imagine? Probably sound like this. Radio News Talk 1010. Oh, dear. I'm going to have a drink after this. Okay. It's a 50% success rate, this show. I've never had so many texts. 50%, this is the funniest thing ever. 50%, you're disgusting and weird. Both right. No denials here. The fastest rap songs of all time. Let's do it. Starting from number 10, we're going to work our way up to the quickest track of all time. And I every week I take the piss out of people here and say they've got no talent. I'll tell you what, these guys have got talent. Whether you like it or not, this is talent. Hold it there. So that was Young Blaze, who can do 344 words in a minute. And the problem is, it was quite funny, this, because there was loads of N-words and loads of other words that are definitely inappropriate for radio. And I asked Elliot, the producer, to beep them out. He did it, and he came up to me after. He goes, I think I got them all. I might have left one or two in, but I don't think anyone can hear them anyway. Because it's so quick. So that was Young Blaze. 344 words in a minute. And you say I speak quickly. This is Tech 9. Hold it. Tech 9 there with a track that sounded a bit like this. Hubba-da-hubba-da-hubba-da-hubba-da-ho. A gun. To me. Number 8 is Busta Rhymes, who's legendary. This is a track called Worldwide Choppers. I'm gonna come and kill him, get him, hit him and finish him and bang him in the head and diminish him and then I'll hit him and give him a minimum. You gonna come and kill him. Then he gotta be drilling him. Gotta be filling him. Spitting lithium, see the wind. Spilling them and getting them stupid to the point where there's no forgiving them. Hoping you're listening and you're paying attention and you're witnessing the way that I be cushioning the mic and getting in the zone. I be flattening and packing and people from the front to the back and then got me acting a fool. I'm Whoa, hold the phone there, sweet cheeks. Busta Rhymes there with Worldwide Choppers. Might not like rap. I actually do quite like a lot of rap. I'll tell you what, I'll take my hats off to these guys, regardless of whether I like the Rid Dem. This is VBL, which... Hang on. Isn't that Visible... Oh, no, that's VPL, isn't it? Sorry. Being a pervert. Can you get rid of that piece of cheese before I get caught? VBL, this is Sleeping On Me. I think he said, I got a pack of Skittles. That might have been subliminal advertising, I don't know. It's so quick, I've just suddenly thought, oh, I want Skittles. So that was VBL. Don't know what it stands for. Who cares? This is Busy Bone with Babylon. So that's Busy Bone with Babylon. Keep it going because we haven't got a lot of time. This is December Dead with Velocity. Unbelievable. These are all different rappers, by the way. I don't think you'd even know. I might as well just keep it going. This is Ellie with Worldwide Choppers. We've also got... I just want one more. I want the one after this. This is Crazy with Flow Motion. Yeah. Love it. Don't know what he's saying, but I love it. Which is very often the result of most people's testimonial to my radio show. Don't know what he said. Don't know what it was all about. Think I liked it. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Take care, see you next week. Bye-bye now. My name's Vinnie White. Check me out at vinniewhite.co.uk.